Hello, and welcome to Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. This is episode 5, and as always, the Cake Wolf's Happy Hour is brought to you by Padded Room Podcast. You can find us and them at paddedroom.podbean.com. If you like our show, check us out at cakewolf.com, where we make themed cocktails for horror movies and a bunch of other shit. So, today, as always, we are going to be building a cake. First off, we're going to be hitting up our icing, which is just a little bit what you've been up to kind of thing. And then we're going to be digging into our filling, which is going to be a little bit of a magic show coverage. Cake Bitch and I both picked a witchy-themed film. Mine is horror, and it's something that I've never seen, and she's picked something that is not listed as horror, but is friendly and has a little bit of a horror bent to it. Her movies are always going to be a little bit spoopy, where mine are more spooky, or at least hopefully. So, I am here today with Cake Bitch.
I'm a little sick, by the way.
Say hello to the folks.
Hi, everyone.
She is sick. She's got the colds.
Every time we record, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just got over a cold, and then you got another one.
Yeah, Hamilton likes to give me snot kisses. He's my little nephew.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a snotty little monster.
You can't deny him. He's just adorable, even when he's sick as can be.
Yeah, so, I don't know how you keep getting sick all the time. There's got to be something wrong with your immune system.
No,
maybe
I mean, have
you've got like a zombie plague or something.
No, babies
you're just
gonna
start rotting.
Germ monsters.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because
even my doctor said so.
You've written into the Padded Room before talking about your lipoma and your pilar cysts.
Those aren't sicknesses.
You're falling apart.
I am falling apart. Actually, the lipoma and the pilar cysts are both middle-aged maladies, so apparently I'm entering the Middle Ages.
That's scary. I'm going to have to trade you in for a younger model, something that's a little bit more healthy. I need someone to take care of me when I get older.
Oh, well, I think I'll be around longer than you.
You do?
Yeah. I don't smoke.
You are stronger than me.
And I don't drink.
And I think the first thing that's going to go on me is my legs. So I hope.
You think your legs are going to give out?
Probably the first thing is going to be my legs. I don't want to use a wheelchair because I have some pride left in me. So I'm just going to have you wear a big backpack and carry me around.
that's more prideful.
Yeah.
Were you like a giant baby?
I always liked it as a kid when my dad put me on his shoulders, so maybe you can do that. Carry me around that way.
I guess you're wasting away to nothing, you won't be as heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be better at basketball. That's a plus, right?
Yeah, you'll be like Charlie on We Bare Bears. All you have to do is reach up and dunk it.
And Charlie is Bigfoot,
he's
right?
He's Bigfoot, yeah.
In this Cartoon Network cartoon show you're mentioning?
Yes, We Bare Bears.
Okay.
It's adorable.
We Bear Bears, that's spelled B-A-R-E and then B-E-A-R?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're naked bears.
They're naked bears
that go on adventures with Bigfoot in the woods.
Yeah, Charlie showed up later in the season. Mm-hmm. They live under a rock outside of town because they couldn't afford.
This sounds very sexual.
But they're just three bears. They're like,
yeah, but they're naked. They're hanging out with Bigfoot.
Yeah, but they have fur.
So does Bigfoot.
Yeah, I know. So they're not really naked.
Well, if they're not wearing clothing.
Well, Nolly's naked then right now.
Yeah, but the thing about, you're mentioning Nolly, her genitalia is exposed.
Yeah.
Even though she has fur.
She's still bleeding or not right
now. So bears have genitalia that's exposed, even though they have fur.
I guess so, but they don't show the genitalia.
Well, then the show is not capitalizing.
Ice Bear is just my favorite.
Okay.
They'll have more of the free chips, please.
So we're going to talk about what we've been up to lately. Cake Bitch, do you want to mention something that you've been up to lately?
Well, I've watched a lot of Wee Bear Bears because I'm sick. and
horror-related, please.
Horror-related.
Yeah, because this is, after all, a horror podcast.
Well, I mean, both of us have been watching Stan Against Evil, and I always want to say Stan versus Evil, but that's wrong.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say that myself.
It's very much, it's very goofy, just It's a little gory, but not... It's too goofy to take too seriously, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think I'm going to review it soon.
It is fun. So this is a show that really captures the feel of the Evil Dead films, or if you're a fan of Ash versus Evil Dead, you're just going to love this one. It's starring John McGinley as Stanley Miller, and he's basically acting sheriff of this town.
He was in Scrubs. Who solved that mystery for you?
That was Darian Brock of the Padded Room Podcast.
Thank you, by the way, because I was like, I know this guy from something.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff. He's got a prolific career, and he's really good at this role of this like dead inside, downbeat kind of sheriff of this podunk town.
Yeah, well, and I guess was he dead inside on Scrubs too?
A little bit.
Kind of sarcastic.
Yeah.
Dry. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this town that he's the sheriff of is cursed, and apparently his wife was protecting him from this curse, but unfortunately his wife dies.
She's actually hunting them.
And so when she's passed, all the baddies just come out and want to play with old Stanley Miller.
The witch is wonderful.
So they fuck with him at his wife's funeral, making him think that an old woman is this demonic witch. So, of course, Stanley Miller goes over to this old woman and just starts beating the fuck out of her face.
No, wasn't she was the witch.
Well, nobody else could see it at the time.
Oh, right. No, nobody saw it.
All they saw was him beating the shit out of an old woman's face.
Yes.
And so he gets fired, and then Evie Barrett comes into play, and she is played by Janet Varney. She's a pretty nice-looking piece there.
And she is not Stan.
Mm-mm.
No.
Wait, what? Stan?
Stan. The sheriff, the former sheriff.
Right.
Everyone keeps saying, well, Stan never.
That's true.
And she has to keep reminding people that she is not Stan.
Yeah.
Do I look like Stan?
She's basically Sisyphus in this show. It's like a losing battle of just constantly like putting up with shit that just gets her nowhere. But yeah, she's acting sheriff now, and because of that, she has the curse on her, so her and Stanley work together as a team to knock out these demons in each episode. And it's just violent as fuck. I mean, you want a taste of that Evil Dead goodness, you're going to be getting it here. So definitely check that out. It's streaming on Hulu right now. And as I'm aware, they're currently working on the second season already.
Yeah, I think I saw something about the second season. I didn't read much about it, but you forgot to mention its daughter, who is just, like, a super delight in this show.
Oh, yeah.
She's, that's Nolly chasing cat bugs. You'll probably hear some barking.
Yeah.
But,
there's just no escaping that.
The daughter is a nice little slice of comedic relief. She's kind of clumsy and naive.
Yeah,
but she knows her mom was like doing witchy things, but she doesn't really understand how much or how in depth it was.
Yeah, and there's this great scene in the second episode where Stanley's daughter is just showing how much grit she has going up against this demon. It's great. It's all very...
What did she say she was from Jaws?
Brody.
Yeah, she's Brody.
She's throughout that episode insistent that she is the equivalent of Brody in the movie Jaws.
I've never seen Jaws, so
you've never seen Jaws?
No, I've never seen Jaws.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I guess watch Predators and Jaws.
Well, after the fiasco of having you watch some of my other movies that I held dear to my heart,
I don't know if I could survive. I'm afraid because I always just find something.
Yeah, we had a huge argument over that one movie.
Star Wars?
No, it was Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh my god, that was such an awful movie.
I was ready to leave you after that.
You were not.
I was close.
I clean up after you.
That was bullshit.
Well, now he has a new show coming out sometime soon on Amazon, and I'm pretty excited about it.
He took
fun at himself, and it looks delightful.
I would love to see him in a horror movie, but I don't think of there he has been in any. So if anybody out there knows of one that he has been in, let me know, because I would love to see it. I one of the movies I dug into recently was Botched. It's a 2006 film. And this one is also a horror comedy, so if that's something that you're looking for, you're not only going to get that with Stand Against Evil, you're also going to be getting that with this movie Botched. Well, actually, it's 2007.
Oh, okay. 2006,
2007, it says, okay, like, a different thing depending on where you look. So this one's directed by Kit Ryan, and it's written by Raymond Friel, Derek Boyle, and somebody else as well. Eamon Friel. So this one is basically about dude who is played by Stephen Dorff. And in the movie, his name's Richie. What he's trying to do is, he's a small-time crook. He's trying to get some diamonds for a thief that he works for. It's played by Sean Pertwee. And that does not go so well for him. So Sean Pertwee puts him on a path to go and steal from his family in this high-rise tower. And he's paired up with these two Russian knuckleheads to get the job done. The goal is to steal this golden cross. That's a family heirloom that Sean Pertwee wants back in his grasp from his crazy family. And what he doesn't tell Stephen Dorff about is the fact that his family is a family of murderers that believe that they're going to be resurrecting some kind of god. So shit just goes belly up fast. They've got this tower decked out with all of these crazy traps. Like, one dude is running away from a guy dressed like a Viking, and Viking dude pulls a lever, makes these spikes appear out of the ground, and disco music start playing while the Viking just dances over to dude and chops his head off.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah, it's all done very weird because they, like, sped up different parts of the movie to give it a kind of, like, Scooby-Doo feel of people running down hallways, indoors and out of doors.
So it's supposed to be funny, though. It's not like, what was that one that you watched for another podcast that you do with the... It felt like a Monty Python movie at first.
Oh, Dead as Hell, the one that One Sick Puppy had me watch. Yeah, that was Devils.
Something. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh, The Devils of Loudon is the book, yes.
That one
was weird.
I had mentioned that one prior.
It felt like it was supposed to be funny, but it was not.
It wasn't. This one is. This is a good, a great movie. It's got excessive amounts of gore in it. It has characters that are right out of a cartoon. And it's really hitting all the beats, and it's very fast-paced, so it's not going to bore you. There's this running joke with a rat that is this weird-ass-looking puppet rat, like right out of a Muppet movie. And the
is
thing,
it
like,
an unusual size?
It is unusual sized. And this thing, like, gets thrown around the room. It pisses in people's faces. It gets lit on fire. Bites ankles. And it's just, it's got this big ass wang, too. It's just fucking ridiculous.
That sounds kind of terrible.
I mean, check that out. It's
what's
a great
its
film.
Rating?
It's rated R.
No. I mean, what do people think of it rating on IMDb?
It's not doing too hot, but not too bad. It's middle of the road.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, you can't always trust that because, you know, your opinion can differ. If people like shit movies like I do, you know, they could really dig into the things that I suggest.
This
and even though the movie is pretty cheesy, it's still pretty classy for a cheese fest.
I'm classy.
Yeah.
He used that word, and I don't think you know what it means.
Whatever. Well, speaking of classy, today I am drinking once again, just as I was in the previous episode with Dustbrain, a cocktail that we themed in tribute to Toby Hooper, who passed away just yesterday. This podcast is going to be released way past the point where I said yesterday, but anyway, this is a drink that is themed to the movie Eaten Alive, and what it has in it is some silver tequila, Midori, dash of lime juice, 7-Up, and a little bit of grenadine afterwards. And it comes out to be this really bright green drink yes. with a little bit of red on the bottom.
It's actually because the grenadine really beautiful. Sinks down. He put way too much grenadine in his, but it's still very pretty. So, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter if you goof.
It's a delicious drink, and it's a twist on the classic crocodile cooler, because as you know, or you should, in Eaten Alive, there is a crocodile that is being fed prostitutes and hitchhikers and whoever dude in the movie can get the crocodile to eat. The crocodile is kind of acting like his sexual organ in a way, because dude is very insecure and incapable of common human interaction, but has this very sexual side to him that he expresses with feeding people to his crocodile. It's a great movie. It has Robert Englund in it, of Freddy Krueger fame. So if you want to see him at a very young age and very baby-faced, check that out. He tries to screw a prostitute in her butt. So
all these there's actors' names like mean nothing to me. Like when I was doing my research for the movie I watched, The Worst Witch, they list Diana Rigg, Charlotte Ray, Tim Curry as the stars on IMDb, and I'm like, the only name I know is Tim Curry. So I clicked on these other people's names, and they're like in a ton of shit. I had no idea. Like, some of the stuff is stuff I've seen, too.
Yeah.
So, I am so bad at actors.
That's fine. I'm not the best myself. And you don't have to be. Something else I dug into was Hansel and Gretel Get Baked. It's a 2013 film. It's listed as comedy horror. I don't see too much comedy in there. And the horror is there. It's not very scary, though.
It's kind of gross.
At times. It's kind of more gross than scary. I was told that this was an extremely gory movie, and there's one scene that I thought was very well done and very gory, where dude gets his head partially chopped off and his tongue's still waggling there as blood's squirting out. That was cool. So that's really the most violent you're going to get in this movie. The rest of it is just set up. So it's the classic tale of Hansel and Gretel, but it's done in modern day. It's covering two, like, 20-some-year-old kids.
Stoners. That's why it's supposed to be funny, but...
Yeah, it's a bunch really of stoners. Yeah, it's a horror movie about stoner kids that are getting their pot from a Nazi witch who eats children to stay young. She's a Nazi.
Oh, I missed that.
And she eats children to stay young and sells Nazis. Them a special magical kind of marijuana that she grows in this, like a strange underground bunker that looks more like an extra-dimensional pocket when you get down to it because it's so massive. And she calls it her Black Forest pot, and all the kids are crazy about it. There's really not too much in this movie that makes it special. It's very low on the to-do list if you're going to have interest in seeing that. If you're going to be doing, like, a themed night for drug horror-related movies, I guess you could throw that in there, but there's better ones to put on top of the list.
Like Street Trash?
Yeah, Street Trash would work. The Acid Eaters.
Is that literal acid?
Yeah.
Like... is it PCP? Is that the actual thing? I don't know. I don't do drugs. It's
basically a bunch of old people that go out to, like, the desert to do...
They drop some acid.
Acid, and then they get naked and fuck each other, and bad shit happens. Yeah. Don't drop acid with people you don't trust. They might try to kill you. Shrooms, that's another good one to put on there.
They trust each other, and they still... went out in the woods and dropped acid saying, together.
If you're gonna do it with someone, make sure you know them well.
Oh no, I'm not dropping acid. That stuff's, I mean, unless it's like a treatment for depression, because they were looking into that.
And I'd say Matango is a fun one too. That is not really it's not really drug related, but it's mushroom monsters.
Matango? I think there's a candy shop near here called Matango's.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Maybe I'm getting it wrong. They do not sell drugs there, only chocolate.
So, that's pretty much what we've been up to, besides a couple of things that I want to cover with you together. So, I understand you have some Fright Site news, and while you pull that up, just to let the listeners know what Fright Site News is, it's basically a current event that is fucked up and scary in a way, and a little bit relative to horror movies. So, just letting you know that if you wanted to live in a horror movie, well, you are in a way. So, what do you got for us?
Well, I guess I'll share that I've been working on a piece about Charlottesville for about 2 weeks now, and there's just so much of a shitstorm involved with that, with the whole racists / anti-Semites involved, that maybe by the time this is posted, I'll actually have a Fright Site up on Cake Wolf about it. But the actual...
Why don't you tell some people about what that is exactly? Because,
well,
I don't think a lot of listeners...
I feel like you are not giving people credit because it was all over the news. But
well,
so a bunch of...
Not everybody listens to the news.
White
people like me try to stay away from it.
A bunch of white supremacists, neo-Nazis. It's just like... assholes got together in Charlottesville to supposedly have a free speech rally, but it was really about the removal of a Confederate statue that Spencer got. I think his name's Richard Spencer. I don't know. I don't commit these like racist assholes' names to memory. I know his last name is Spencer. He showed up. He's got punched by a couple anti-fascists already. Talking about Jews will not replace us, they will not replace us, blah blah blah, and it's all over this freaking statue. So of course I fell down this like rabbit hole where I was researching idols in the Bible, like these people are I don't even know. So anyway, it's very scary. There were literal Nazis gathered in Charlottesville protesting the removal of a statue about a guy who fought to keep people as property. So there's that. The irony of all of this is General Lee actually said after the war that he didn't think any commemorative statue should go up because it would keep the wounds of war open and it wouldn't allow the country to heal. And lo and behold, he was correct. Over 200 years now? Almost? I don't know. I'm really bad at history, but it's been a long time. And his words are still true. But the Fright Site that I have for tonight is a little more lighthearted, but also still terrifying.
Yeah, and if you want to check out Nazis in a horror movie, Green Room is a great one to go to.
I know. I feel like anything with Nazis in is horrible and horrifying.
Well, Green Room is exceptionally visceral. That is an intense movie. It's a ride. It does not let up. I mean, it's violent. And it makes you feel uncomfortable because as soon as the violence starts, it's like you're on a roller coaster ride and people are dying so quick you can't even catch up with it. It's like Walking Dead and Fast Forward. I know Jeff Hammer of Streaming Horror Society loves that movie, and I want to make a themed cocktail to pay tribute to the movie and recognize Hammer's love for it at some point. It's just hard to find, like... alcohol to mix with that, because yeah, you can use German alcohol, but are you saying that the makers of that have relations to Nazis? I don't know. I'm thinking about it too much.
I mean, I think that there are probably a lot of people in Germany right now that actually did have relatives that were Nazis. It was kind of a matter of survival, not that it made it okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of awful, but I mean, in Germany, they do take steps to ensure that Nazism doesn't come around again.
Patrick Stewart stars in that movie, Green Room.
Patrick Stewart.
He's the lead Nazi. Him.
He's a Nazi?
Yeah.
What? He's always a nice guy, though.
He is scary.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see that.
I mean, he's scary in a very manipulative way. Just to see someone that can shape his words in such a way to influence others to do what sounds like it is the right thing, but obviously he's a horrible person, so he's just trying to
exploit
their innocence. He is very, very good at his character that they gave him. And his character's extremely complex.
Side note, apparently white supremacists will recruit people by scaring them into thinking that anyone that's not white is out to, like, murder, rape, kill you. Like, no lie, that's how they recruit people. It's disgusting. Jeez. It is absolutely fucking appalling.
That reminds me of...
It's, like, worse than Jehovah's Witnesses. Door to door, you'll go to hell. Let us in. Let me waste your time. I will never forget when my meemaw got a letter right after my peepaw died from the Jehovah Witnesses trying to, like, get her to be one of them. They prey on people at their weakest moments. It's kind of gross. Sorry if you're a Jehovah Witness, but I don't know that there's many Jehovah Witnesses that are also horror fans. I'm sure there's a few. I've probably offended a bunch of people.
Whatever. I've met some that are, but it doesn't matter.
I mean, I've met some good people, too.
What you were saying kind of reminds me of Louis Black's Gay Banditos stand-up comedy routine. Yeah, he had this stand-up comedy routine on how ridiculous it is to be afraid of queers and oppress them because of your fears. And he put it in a way to say, like, it's not as though there are these lone gay banditos running through the countryside looking for the perfect American family that's just about to sit down for dinner. And before the father can carve the turkey, the gay banditos break down the door and jump on the table and just start fucking each other in the ass.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they, like, shoot rainbows out their eyes and turn everyone into gay soldiers.
No.
That's upsetting.
Just fucking each other in the ass on the dinner table.
Like, oh my God, I might become gay. Or, like, I don't know. Like, is it really that weird if some girl is looking at my boobs? I don't get that weirded out by it, but maybe it's because, like, they're big.
And you can't avoid them. They're too big.
So you just looked at them now.
They're safety devices. If you are thrown into an ocean, they'll keep you afloat. Yeah.
That's how I tread water. Just lay on my back.
Okay,
my
so your work. Fright site that you have.
My fright site is, so back in the late 1970s, NASA launched the Voyager spacecraft into orbit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already slipped out of our solar system. So yeah. It's past Pluto. It's very cool, exciting news. It has mementos from the time that they launched it, records and whatnot. But what it also has is a map of where we are in the galaxy. So if alien life forms would one day intercept the Voyager, they would be able to pinpoint where we are located and become our overlords. Or maybe they would come and make everything better. Maybe we are not the most intelligent, crazy thought, because, oh my God, we're doing so well here. But, yeah, so aliens could totally find us and just annihilate our planet. Maybe they'll suck the air out of it, like on Spaceballs.
Maybe they'll look like E.T., but code, be really vicious.
The code is 1234. Oh my God, what if that's nuclear launch code? Shit.
So
don't worry, we'll destroy ourselves before aliens get to us, I'm pretty sure.
So a good alien movie to watch is Extro from 1982. It's a wild fucking movie. I love this, and you watched this one with me.
This is directed. You had to remind me which one it was.
This is directed by Harry Bromley Davenport and written by Harry Bromley. Bromley Davenport
this
and
is the one
Ian
where
Cassie.
The alien, like, ate its way out of the woman, right? Like, to give birth to itself? Is this the same movie?
Yes. So, basically, we got a father and son at the beginning of the movie. The father is abducted by aliens, and the kid is just waiting for his dad to come back home for the longest time. The mother moves on, gets with another dude. The kid does not accept other dude, still waiting for his dad to come back.
Well, other dude is kind of a douchebag. He's very distant and cold.
I guess.
Like, he's just given up because this kid is sad that his dad is gone. Like, it's just...
But it's yeah. Stupid. So, dad does come back. He comes back as a fucking weird-ass alien that's just running across a highway. These people see it, go over to it, poke it, And
it's real ugly. Like, yeah. I guess I shouldn't say no one, because people were apparently spraying sunscreen in their eyes to watch the eclipse, which isn't how that works. So maybe someone would actually go over and poke it with a stick.
It's possible.
Yeah, somebody totally would.
So basically, this alien is going around killing people and impregnating women so that it can be rebirthed through them. And the scenes of that are just so disgusting. And this is practical effects at its best in this film. And
it was really gross.
It's super disgusting. You get to see this human person gestate in another, like a life-sized man gestating in a life-sized woman's body, and then crawling. Yeah, he like crawls
like
out of her
vagina.
Yeah,
like he rips her from her vagina.
Oh yeah, he rips his way right out of there.
It's really
I mean, it's just,
that's kind of all I remember, is that it's kind of gross.
Yeah, he's like basically trying to reproduce, like learning the best way to reproduce with humans throughout the movie.
Oh, it ends with the eggs. Right?
Well, we don't want to spoil it for anyone, but essentially he's involved. Trying to figure out the best way to reproduce with humans so that he can perpetuate his race. And by the end of the movie, he didn't do such a good job while he was there, but he's going to bring the information back to his home planet, and he's taking the child with him.
Do you think that they care whether they kill the humans in order
to ride that you get to from where we were saying to where he's taking the kid away is fucking wild. These aliens have these superpowers that are completely different than anything else you've seen in an alien movie. From like making toys turn into dwarven clowns that kill people with rubber chickens, like weird shit.
Alive.
Yeah, it turns a stuffed animal into a puma.
It was a puma, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it turned into a live puma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just crazy. It's an amazing movie. If you haven't seen that, definitely do. There's two sequels to it. They're all very good, but the first one's definitely the best one to watch.
I feel like when you say amazing, we should preface this with, like, it's kind of awful.
In what way?
That's
almost a perfect movie, in my opinion.
I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of storyline. I'm not sure, like, is it really the dad that came back to kidnap the child?
It has a light art house feel to it, because it wants to be left open to the mind of the viewer. It wants to be a little bit transformative in the experience that it's giving you. It's not just giving you this flat line tale of alien comes down, tries to kill people, and then gets destroyed by our own atmosphere or whatever.
I felt like there weren't many sympathetic characters that I could, like, latch on to in this one.
Your main character that you're focusing on is the alien and the son, who's
the little boy
being, like, preened for something greater.
Oh, preening. You used the word preening.
But anyway.
Oh, that's right. The kid has, like, the powers to, like, bring things alive.
Definitely check that out. Another one that we watched is the Warlock trilogy. I had to introduce Christina to that, and she did enjoy the first one, as far as I understand, because the female lead's pretty strong.
The female lead was pretty strong, and also they didn't over-sexualize her, where they really could have very easily done that. And it was an 80s movie, right?
It was done in 1989. Sequels.
Okay, so the end of the 80s.
Right.
But, I mean, that. The 80s were basically all about ass and tits. Tits and ass?
Yeah.
Which is the correct order that you normally say it in. I don't know.
TNA.
But, so tits and ass.
Yeah.
So they could have easily went down that road. And they did in the sequels. They over-sexualized the...
Yeah, well,
the sequels...
They were
still relatively strong female leads, but they had to soften that with some sexuality and, like, busting bosoms.
The first one is definitely the most structured tale in the franchise, and really lays down the rules for the Warlock as a monster.
Oh, and the ending is genius. Like, this girl is genius.
So, this is considered an action fantasy horror, and it's directed by Steve Miner. The writer is David Twohoy. And, of course, Julian Sands is the Warlock. He's the most memorable part of this film. And he knocks it out of the park. I love him as the Warlock. He's the Warlock in the second film as well. In the third, they happen to get somebody else. Julian Sands, he's one of the greats, in my opinion. Loved him in Boxing Helena, which is a film that's done by David Lynch's daughter. That was a very weird one where he's basically got this quadriplegic locked away in a chateau, and she's teaching him how to be more sexual because she needs a man. She doesn't need a pussy to be with.
She's so, teaching the quadriplegic?
No, the quadriplegic is teaching Julian Sands' character how to be more of a man through his sexuality.
Yeah. Well, that turns it on its head a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting tale.
I take that.
toxic
masculinity.
In the Warlock movie, we basically got Julian Sands sending himself to the future to escape a witch hunter. And when he does so, he lands right inside of somebody's home and happens to curse this woman who is staying in that home, played by Laurie Singer. And she's basically going to start getting really, really old. She ages like 20 years every day.
Well, I mean, but first you have to get over the fact that these people were just like, oh yeah, this guy can stay here even though he just crashed through our window. That's fine. And I'm sure he just needs some help.
What's so great about this is we've got this female protagonist that is set on a journey to catch Julian Sands' character so that he can break the curse that he put on her. And as she's chasing him, she's constantly getting older. So, like, midway through the film, she's, like, 70, 80 years old. So you've got this, like, old woman as your lead protagonist. And I found that very, very amazing. Very fun movie. Extremely well done. I mean, I find very little wrong with it. But apparently the franchise did make some people find wrong things in it.
I want to add that I actually did think that this is one of the better ones that you've made me watch.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Kudos. This one may be okay.
I could watch that movie any day. Yeah. So there is a copycat murderer who is killing people in the same fashion that Julian Sands' character...
Like, still currently?
Well, no, not currently. Okay. But there was. He was killing people in the same fashion that Julian Sands' character, the Warlock, was killing people in the film. And the twist on it's pretty surprising. This happened in LaRange, Saskatchewan in 1995. It was a 14-year-old boy named Sandy Charles, who had basically been contemplating suicide, but the spirit of Julian Sands came to him and told him to kill someone else. So, Charles and...
This already sounds like a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, well, it's real. Charles and someone that they're unable to name that was 8 years old at the time basically lured a 7-year-old boy named Jonathan Timpson into a very awful situation where they stabbed him 4 times in the head and the neck with a paring knife. And when the blade became lodged in the boy's eye, they decided to start beating him with beer bottles and rocks and then suffocating him. And then they cut 10 to 15 strips of flesh off of Timpson's body. They boiled it on a stove and drank it like Julian Sands' character, the Warlock, did in the first film. They don't show him cutting the boy up, but he does,
yes,
like...
he does lure a little boy.
Yeah, he lures a little boy to his death, and then the next scene you see him boiling the boy's fat so that he can make a flying spell.
He's an asshole. He's a bastard.
Yeah, so basically... In court, it was brought to the attention of everyone that this kid thought Julian Sands' character was talking to him, and he was inspired by the Warlock movies to do this. So Yeah, this is one of the reasons why the country's decision to enable parents to use the V-chip to censor violence in cable television happened. This was one of the things that really perpetuated the, like, the, in my opinion, nonsense of all what's it called when you're like, shit, I can't think of the word.
Brainwashing?
No. Censorizing.
Oh, I don't think it's
so censoring. So much censoring.
When parents are doing it, it's not censorship. It's just parenting. Like, I know we're going to have some discussions. Like, I don't want my kid thinking that screaming women is normal.
Apparently, this kid's still alive and kicking. He's been moved from his prison to a regional psychiatric center in Saskatoon. Yeah.
When did the murders happen?
They happened in 95.
Okay.
So about 6 years after the initial film's release. Yeah.
So is he forever in a mental institution?
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's probably a good place for him. He's.
Yeah. I mean, it's not much of a life, but yeah, he's clearly off his rocker.
I feel like anytime somebody kills somebody, they're clearly insane.
I mean, if he was going to base himself off of anyone from the movies, he should have based himself off of the Witch Hunter, which traveled into the future chasing Julian Sands' warlock character as well.
Yeah, pretty badass.
Because he was cool.
He was cool.
Yeah, and he was down with the Mennonites.
Down with the Mennonites. The Mennonites had the hex signs.
Yeah, he teamed up with, the Witch Hunter teams up with Mennonites, and the young woman turned old to fight the warlock. It's great.
It was, that was pretty
cool. The way they fight him is so interesting, too. Like, they at one point get his shoes off, and when they find footprints that he makes in the dirt, and they, like, hit the footprints with nails, the warlock will feel it on his feet. Some pretty cool magical theories in this movie.
It's like Home Alone.
Kinda, yeah. Could you imagine Home Alone with a warlock twist? I'd like that. Fuck yeah. So, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about things that you've been up to lately?
Do you want me to talk about the movie I watched, or?
Well, we're not ready for the filling yet.
We are still talking about
just stuff that we've been up to.
Yeah, no, I have been working on a lot of homework lately, so I finally had a night to myself because you were off podcasting with Dust Brain, and so I watched a romantic comedy called Blind Date, and it was lovely. I had to read it because it's in Italian. But it was really, if you're looking for a movie that will make your girlfriend very happy, she's not a horror fan, try Blind Date. It's on Netflix. I think it was released in 2007. But it's streaming for free on Netflix. Well, not for free on Netflix, but it's streaming on Netflix. But that's about it. I had a nice little girly night. Well, I folded laundry while I did it, but, you know. It was still nice to have something that wasn't folding screaming.
Folding laundry is not horror.
No. Well, I mean, it can be, because I'm the only one that does it.
Hey, it's not like I've got shit stains all over my underwear.
No. It's just that it's always my job.
All right. So, the last thing I want to mention is you and I watched Dimension 404 on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an amazing horror and sci-fi anthology series. It's pretty new. It's kind of got a Twilight Zone feel to it, a little bit of Outer Limits.
Yeah, the episode we watched was definitely more sci-fi than horror.
Yeah, it's got more of a sci-fi bend to it, but all of the episodes, it's a variety show, so you're getting a little bit of everything. Would you like to talk about our episode that we watched that's titled Bob?
So, yeah, sure. Bob is about a meat computer. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to put it. The NSA, okay, so Constance Wu and Ellie Grace Seiler, who's she? Oh, she's the girlfriend. So there's an army psychiatrist or psychologist that they bring in, that's Constance Wu. She's Captain Jane Lee. They bring her in to help with Bob because Bob is very depressed and he has lost sight of one of his targets. He targets terrorists, so he monitors everyone everywhere all over the world, knows everything about them. And Bob is a little overwhelmed. Bob really likes people. He wants to know everything he can about people. And he gets so bogged down because he can feel all their emotions and knows everything that they're planning. Well, not everything they're planning, because he's very fascinated with this one guy that's building something for his wife. And he doesn't know what it is because it's poorly built.
Yeah, so it's basically going to be about Constance Wu, who's Captain Jane Lee, trying to get home to see her wife, Samantha, and their daughter, but she's constantly kept from that and forced to use her skills as an amazing psychiatrist, but she actually, later you find that she has, like, her own agendas, that she's, like, kind of running away from herself in a way. It's a very, like, introspective tale on wanting to feel as though you're needed, and the, like, chase for belonging and finding home. It's a heartfelt tale, and it involves a giant brain.
Yeah, I think that Bob and her had that in common. I think they were both kind of running from themselves in a way.
Yeah,
but Bob's just this, it's a human brain that they've turned into a supercomputer.
Yeah, and it's massive. This thing's taking up, like, the size of a small McDonald's.
Oh, I think it's bigger than a small McDonald's.
Yeah, it's pretty huge.
She vomits upon seeing it the first time.
Yeah, it's pretty gross looking.
But
it's more of a heartfelt tale.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny.
It is.
I mean, there's some serious moments in there, but they threw in a lot of humor.
There's some great shows on that Dimension 404. I would highly suggest that if you enjoy stuff like Twilight Zone or Outer Limits, definitely give that a go.
Yeah, it's definitely lighter than Black Mirror, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
A lot lighter than that, but
yeah, Black Mirror first episode kicks it off with a dude that has to fuck a pig.
Was that the first episode?
That was the first one.
That was the very first episode. Yeah. Huh. Oh yeah, we had that conversation. I told Matt that I would not be angry with him if he fucked a pig in order to save a human life, and he was disgusted by this.
Yeah. I would not fuck a pig. I don't care how many people I'm saving.
I don't think... What if it was Nolly and me? Would you fuck a pig?
I would not fuck a pig.
You would not fuck a pig to save my life.
That's disgusting.
Not even Nolly's life.
That's where I draw the line.
I would die to save Nolly's life, and you wouldn't even fuck a pig.
Jason and I had this discussion in our first episode. I do have a line that I draw.
Oh.
I will have sex with a predator, but I will not fuck a pig.
That's a really weird line.
Yeah, well, that's the line.
A strange line.
So, let's kick it off to our filling.
Finally.
Alright, so today we got two movies to cover. One that I picked and one that Christina picked. As I mentioned earlier, mine is listed as horror. However, it's something that I have not seen. And usually that's going to mean that it's something pretty weird and obscure, which happens to be the case today. Christina, what did you pick? I picked 1986 Magic of the Universe, or also known as, you're going to try to say this, Salamangukuro.
I think he should not have even tried. We are too white for that.
Yeah, it's a Filipino horror. So I'm going to let you kick yours off first. You're going with what?
The Worst Witch, but not the Netflix series that's on right now.
No, this is the original done in the 80s.
Well, the original is a book written by Joe Murphy.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is done in 1986?
This movie was done in 1986. It stars a very young, what's her, Fairuza Balk. Fairuza Balk.
Mm-hmm. Very young. Like, she's 10 years old.
She is a child. She still looks the same, but she has a baby face. Like I said earlier, Diana Rigg, Charlotte Ray, Tim Curry, who's, I mean, it's really the only reason to watch this as an adult.
Right. I mean, this is a movie that's made for children.
This is clearly for children. It stays pretty true to the book. I did listen to the, to a fan reading of it on YouTube. That was pretty amazing. Let me see if I can pull up.
So, yeah, this, movie has a very Harry Potter feel to it.
Yeah, I would say that the protagonist is a cross between Hermione Granger and Ron Weasley.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would be their child in the future, but in the past.
Yeah.
She goes to a witch school, and she's not very good at being a witch. But it turns out that the headmaster's twin sister has this evil plot to take over the school, and Mildred, who's the little witch, she kind of derails their plans. She turns them into snails, if I recall.
Yeah.
And captures them and brings them back to the headmaster.
Yeah, so there's basically this tale is just kind of meandering, and you're seeing Fairuza Balk not being a good witch.
And
like every scene of the movie, she's not being a good witch.
She's
and that's
just
like
not. She's not very good at studying. She's not good at memorizing spells.
Mm-hmm.
There's a antagonist. She's just the mean girl because there always has to be a mean girl in every movie with girls in it, and she sabotages their. Forget what they were celebrating. If it was just a Halloween celebration, I think it was just a Halloween celebration that the Grand Wizard, played by Tim Curry, he's coming to the school, and it's a big, big deal. And the mean girl curses Mildred's broom so that it goes haywire during the performance.
And Mildred is Fairuza Balk.
Yes, Mildred is the worst witch. After that performance, that's when she runs away and finds the headmaster's twin sister plotting in the woods with her other witch friends. And she bumbles through a spell that rhymes a little too much. But it works, and she turns them into snails, and she saves the day, and she gets credit for it at school. It's very true to the book. I was impressed because it was pretty spot on.
A horror fan would watch this. I think there's only one reason for their children to, like, give their children an introductory to horror with something that's not scary and just plain old comedy spoopy.
No, for kids. I think this is a fun movie for kids who aren't quite old enough for Harry Potter because it's very lighthearted and goofy.
Yeah.
It's kind of an introduction to those lighthearted witch stories.
Do you think it's too dated for children today?
I don't know. I think if they're young enough, I don't think, like, a 10-year-old would sit down and watch this. But
there's a very low production cost on this.
Yeah, it's very low budget.
The most you're going to get out of special effects is, like, a different colored lighting. There's some heavy green lighting that's going on at times.
There's
some lens play. You get like
green screening.
Yeah, you get like some lens play to make characters seem smaller than they are. You're getting like a lot of paper mache'd. It seems like they gave all of the kids a bunch of like arts and crafts stuff and said, hey, make some paper mache jack-o'-lanterns and cut out some ghosts and we're going to use them in the movie. And they do.
Okay. Well, first off, let me just say that I've watched some pretty horrible horror movies that are very low budget on your end. And you're like, that was the best movie ever. So.
Yeah, I'm sure those are my exact words.
5 stars. But anyhow, this was a made-for-TV movie made in the 1980s. I mean, you can't expect too much from it. It was released on Halloween. It's literally a Halloween special.
Yeah.
It's
made-for-TV Halloween special in the 80s should say something to people who are old enough to have experienced that.
It's a lot of fun. It's goofy. It's good for little kids. And I mean, Tim Curry's music scene is the best thing ever from an adult perspective. I mean, this song is just ridiculous. I have it pulled up, but I don't know if it will capture the sound properly if I play it on my iPad.
It can capture it. That's fine. It's not going to come across the best, but go ahead.
All right.
So, the Grand Wizard, played by Tim Curry, has a scene in the film where it's just a musical number. And it's honestly the best part of the movie. It's really, if you're going to watch the movie, the only part I would say to pay attention to.
I wouldn't change places with anyone tonight. We'll carve pumpkin faces and watch the witches' flight.
I mean, he really gets into this.
Every human heart will shudder. Every soul will shake with fear. Tonight, the creepiest. Tonight, the scariest. Tonight, the most wonderful. Oh. And I hear anything can happen on Halloween. The dog could turn into a cat. There may be a toad in the bass guitar, or your sister could turn into a bat. Christmas time brings the snow, summertime brings the sun, but on Halloween, your blood begins to run. Something's moving going down.
I was gonna just turn it off. I didn't need to play the whole thing. I'm sorry, I ruined everything because I wasn't subjecting you to 2.5 minutes of this. You can find it on YouTube by Googling Anything Could Happen on Halloween, which is what the song is called. But yeah, it's goofy. He gets really into it. Tim Curry is an amazing actor who put his heart and soul into the small part he played in this made-for-TV special. There's some weird moments where it seems like he's trying to sound sexual. So, yeah, that's probably the only thing in it for adults.
That's just him. He uses sex, even in his role as
it. Yeah, I mean, he has a weird sex appeal.
I would say that if you're going to turn this on, turn it on for your children, and when Tim Curry pops up,
That's
when you can watch it for yourself.
But I mean, it's a bad production quality. I thought it was fun. I thought it was kind of, I mean, it's much lower quality than Hocus Pocus, but it feels like a fun, campy little movie to put on with your kids.
I'd say that you could put this on for like four or five year old kids up to like maybe 8.
Well, yeah, probably 8 would be the max.
Yeah.
I don't know that a 4-year-old would sit through it.
I think so. 4 to 8, I'd say. So, yeah, just very lighthearted thing as an introduction to horror. It's got some spoopy shit in it.
It's not horror at all. I wouldn't even say that it's an introduction to horror. It's just a fun Halloween movie.
For a 4 to 8-year-old child, unless you want to be raised like I was, where your father's just throwing you right into Freddy Krueger.
I literally don't think that I would be afraid of this. And I was the most scared person on the planet Earth. I was afraid of Chucky as a child. And it has been pointed out that no one is afraid of Chucky. So I'm the only person afraid of Chucky.
So you don't think that this has any horror in it at all whatsoever?
I don't think so. I mean, it's listed as a comedy, family, fantasy TV movie.
Well, I think that the headmistress was scary at times, and I think that would come across to children if I picked up on it.
The headmistress was scary?
Yes, when she turns herself into a bat and then becomes a giant, big green light goes on her, and she looks like she's growing bigger as she's yelling at the children and scolding them.
I guess so.
There's some stuff in there that could send a shiver up a four-year-old's spine.
Maybe a four-year-old's. I don't know. Matilda was scarier.
Yeah, but like you said, 80s made for TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a 7.2 rating on IMDb.
Shoestring budget.
And also a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
that's ridiculous.
In the minority here, people find this movie delightful.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be taken seriously at all.
Well, take that for what you will.
Cheesy, and I don't know how you did not find any value in this, because I have watched some really bad movies with you. Like, truly bad.
You were very excited about. It was okay. I was excited about Tim Curry when he was performing. It was pretty great.
Well, so after we watched this movie, I went and looked at, like, everything Tim Curry has done.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done so much. I did not know that he voiced Nigel Thornberry on the Thornberry show on Nickelodeon. Yeah. He was Scrooge in the animated series.
He was the devil in Legend. He was the clown in It.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I didn't know how much voice work he did.
Yeah, he did a lot of voice work.
He was apparently a part of my childhood, and I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, well, he had a very unique voice. You hear that voice, you know exactly where it's coming from.
I didn't.
Well, now you should.
Okay.
So
I feel like he could have been that sparkly crab in Moana. But he's not.
No.
I feel like his voice would have worked for that.
Jesus. So my movie, is it okay to move on over to mine?
Well, or I guess. I was going to talk about how I think Tim Curry is unusually sexy for some reason. Like, when we watched Rocky Horror Picture Show, yes, I was very drunk by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that Chris Evans looked like Brad Majors. I thought if they did a remake that, mm-hmm. you know, he would be played by Chris Evans. But
plays Captain America?
Yes, he plays Captain America. Very all-American, beautiful man. But, yeah, there's something about Tim Curry. Like, he is just not conventional. He's not conventionally good-looking, but, yeah, I would be down to fuck.
Okay.
Turns out, he's an Aries, and he's short, so he's, like, almost exactly my type.
Mm-hmm.
You're not an Aries.
No, I'm not. I'm also not British.
I don't think the British has much to do with it, though, this time. No.
No?
No.
Okay.
It's a little weird, but I mean, I'm sure if I heard him with a British accent, that would add. But he doesn't sound super British in Rocky Horror Picture Show or this movie, to be honest.
All right. So
you don't find him sexy?
Yeah, he's a little bit sexy, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear you say it.
Okay. You got it. I wouldn't stick my balls in his butt, but...
No? What if he paid you?
To stick my balls in his ass?
Yeah. I don't think he would.
No, I don't think he would either.
No, it seems pretty below him.
No.
He seems pretty dignified.
He's not I don't know if I should take that as an insult.
Well, I wouldn't let you stick your balls in my ass, though.
I've never asked.
I know. Thank you. I'd say no.
So my movie is a 1986 Filipino horror called Magic of the Universe. So this basically starts off like Hercules, the Legendary Journey, if any of you are familiar with that, or Xena, Legendary Princess. It's basically showing the cast from clips in the movie. And it's got this very lighthearted music playing in the background while that's happening. It's weird because they're also showing all these like weird puppetry characters that play very little to almost nothing in the movie. There's this goblin that has a television for a stomach, and he doesn't have much of an appearance in the movie, except like once you see him in the corner bobbing his head while there's shit going on in the TV.
Yeah, what was it? Dark Crystal? Is that what we compared this movie to?
In a way. In a way. Yeah.
Strange and.
So basically, it's about this magician who loses his daughter. And he does so by performing in front of a crowd, and he does a magic trick where he's putting his daughter in one of those boxes. He spins it around, says some magic words, and the daughter's gone, and then he says, okay, now I'm going to bring her back. Well, when he tries, daughter does not come back. So the show ends, and magician dude, his wife, and magician dude's sidekick, who is listed on the credits as the Oafish assistant. He's this short and stout child. The three of them visit a black magic master who basically feeds the magician, his wife, and the assistant monkey brains. So he grabs a monkey, he kills it, he cuts open its head, you see the brains, and you see him like spooning it out and feeding it to this family. Very weird. Performs a ritual and basically tells them that their daughter's alive, but if they want to get to her, he's going to have to basically find this magical shit to help him defeat this awful thing that's taken his daughter. So dude sets out on a quest, but decides to stop at a
sorry, I'm getting it. The cat is playing with her wrinkly bag.
Basically decides to stop outside of a town for a little bit of a magic show, which I think is a bad idea considering that his daughter was just lost to a magic show. But he doesn't think this is such a bad thing, so he does another trick, and whoop, now his wife's gone. So we basically find out that his wife and his daughter have been taken to this strange land of, looks like demons. It's just like this Jabba's palace kind of scene where you've got all of these weird ass demonic like creatures dancing around and fighting each other and hooting and hollering and poking children that are in cages. And then Mikula comes out, who is our lead antagonist. She's the witch that's behind all of the stealings of the magician's family. She's doing so because she's pissed at an old ancestor of the magician. And this woman, Mikula, looks fucking weird. She's got this giant Zordon-like head, if any of you know Power Rangers out there. But this head is pulsating.
Oh, yeah, that was the grossest thing about the whole movie.
Yeah. So, you find out that that's what's going on there. Jameer decides to keep going towards his goal of finding this, you know, special thing that's supposed to help him out. As he's going down his path, his grandfather visits him. His grandfather's a spirit, gives him an amulet to help assist him in the quest. He has a lightsaber. He has a fight with these ogres that have lightsabers. And he's helped by this witch who's also on a quest to find her child who's been taken from Mikula. Why they don't team up, I don't know, but they go on their separate ways to do their own things. The magician finds himself among a whole tribe of cannibal dwarves, which they must have had, like, every dwarf in the Philippines put into this movie to have that many in this scene. And he basically is constantly getting out of these situations in crafty ways or just being outright, like, saved. This movie is pretty it doesn't have too much of a horror bend to it as you're going further in. Initially, I thought it was going to be pretty terrifying when everyone's eating monkey brains and you're getting into that black magic feel. But throughout it, you are seeing some pretty creepy monsters. There's a swamp beast that's kind of creepy looking at one point. But yeah, I mean, it's just like these dark crystal-like monsters that are very like puppetish.
Muppets.
Yeah. And it's not a scary movie. I mean, it's got some parts in it that are kind of disturbing. Like, at one point, the witch that I mentioned earlier, who's on a quest to save her daughter, she finds herself pitted against the evil Micula. And they have a battle where the good witch is shooting lasers out of her eyes. And Micula is just laughing and using, I don't even know what, just bitch stare powers, and makes her melt into the ground, and the melting is kind of cool powers, looking,
I guess.
But it's all very low, like it's low budget, but not like backyard kind of budgeting. It's more along the lines of, like I said at the beginning, Hercules the Legendary Journeys, but done in the Philippines. It's a strange kind of movie. I liked it. It had some...
You liked that one.
Yeah, it had some weird monsters in it. It had some gross stuff, like eating monkey brains. And it was kind of like an adventure movie for young kids.
That's the weird thing. Like, it's made for kids, but there's no way in America that this would be a kid's movie.
No, this would be heavily edited if it was going to play for an American audience, because, like I said, there's some nasty shit in there.
It definitely would have been not G, probably not even PG-13. No. It probably would have just been PG. That's one step above it, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be rated R.
I don't think PG, because of the fucking chopping up of the monkey and scooping out the brains, people eating them.
You think they'd just completely edit that out? I mean, I think
weirder, I think they'd have to.
I think weirder stuff has gotten to American audiences than eating monkey brains.
That's really, like, the worst of it, though, the monkey brains. The rest of it's pretty tame. I'd say you could just cover your kids' eyes when the monkey brains are being eaten, but the rest of the movie was...
Like you tried to do to me. Don't look!
Well, I didn't know what we were getting into. Uh-huh. I thought it could be really violent, like Faces of Death.
We survived Okja, where they wanted to eat this adorable pig, but I
would suggest this movie for a good watch with your kids. I think teenagers could even enjoy something like that. Even if they would be laughing at it, because there's some goofy stuff in there.
You'd have to convince them.
With Micula, she's laughing all the time. Okay. There is, like, scenes where she's laughing for a minute on end.
Oh my god, it's so much... That was kind of annoying, actually. I was annoyed by her. It was, like, a full minute of just...
Yeah.
There's no dialogue.
There is a cool fight between a feral child and the oafish assistant in like this to the death kind of arena while all these puppet monsters are surrounding them. I swore like two of the monsters in that in Micula's palace looked like Gamorrean guards that were repurposed from Return of the Jedi. The pig monsters.
Oh.
They're like the palace guards of Jabba.
When was this movie made?
This was made in 86.
Oh, so we both picked a movie from 86.
Yeah, so this...
So it could have been repurposed
from Star Wars, possibly. I doubt it.
You forgot the only thing that I thought was interesting about this movie is the mother actually manages to escape her jail cell using her... a belt or something like that.
Well, there's equal screen time for the magician. His name is Jameer in the film, and his wife. They're each having their own adventures because the husband's
they're both living their own hell.
Husband's trying to get to the wife and daughter. The wife and daughter's trying to get to the husband. They kind of meet in the middle.
Right.
So. It's a good movie, I'd say. it's got some spookiness to it, but it's not really a horror movie, even though it's listed as horror. But I think horror fans could enjoy some of the creatures in there, and
yeah, they were definitely weird.
Yeah, they could definitely enjoy it if they have a tolerance for Hercules or
shit like that. Beastmaster. Apparently, what we're saying is, if you are in the mood for a shitty movie night, watch our movies.
It seems like this is where it's going. Yeah. But yeah, watch that with some kids. I mean, even if, like, although I said,
I did like my movie.
Even if it's a teenager, they'd find something funny about it, I think.
I think that if the teenager thought it was their own idea, they would watch this.
They're all Filipino actors in the movie I picked. I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names. They're very prolific in their acting careers in the Philippines, but none of them are movies that you're ever going to have heard of.
Well, one thing that I learned from this movie is that the Philippines was a territory of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kept looking at the actors' names and I was like, these sound Spanish. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's because they are Spanish names. It's just that they were a territory of Spain. No longer, but... Yeah, so that's a fun fact I learned from sitting through this movie. I don't know if I could say watching, because I kind of zoned out for most of it.
So it happened to be that I ended up not really picking a legit horror movie. So out of the two, which one would you say is better? If they were on the fence of which...
Looking for horror?
I mean, you're not going to get horror in either of them, really.
Well, yours was more horror than mine was.
You could say that, and it would mainly be dependent on the, like, child horror
aspect of it. Well, they were going to eat that kid.
Well, they were collecting children. They had, like, Mikula had hundreds of children in cages that she was planning on destroying.
Yeah, and, like, she had that mushy, pulsing brain, which was pretty... horrifying.
Yeah, but it's all done in a way that's...
I don't
just
know. See, I have a lot of health anxiety, so pulsing brains kind of freak me out.
It's all done in a way that's not scary. It's a kids movie, but it's got some weird shit in it that I think a horror fan could enjoy.
Yeah. I think yours was a little more twisted.
Okay.
I guess is the word I'm looking for. Not necessarily horror, but more twisted. Mine... was definitely a fluffy feel-good, the good witch wins in the end, because she's not really the worst witch.
So, watch underdog. The Tim Curry scene in her movie, and then sit down and watch mine entirely.
Just watch the whole thing. Carissa Balk is in it.
All she does is play witches.
She was in Waterboy. I don't even remember seeing these people in these other movies.
I guess you're right, I forgot about that.
I need to pay closer attention to this, but she doesn't play exclusively witches. She's only played witches three times.
Okay, The Craft, The Worst Witch, and what else?
I can't remember now. That was something that I looked up earlier today.
Oh, okay.
I just know that it was only three. Well, let me see if I can, while you talk, I'll see if I can find that out.
I'm just going to move right into the crumbs, and if you can find it by that point, then we'll hit it up at that time.
Bon appetit, bitch!
All right, so today for the crumbs, what we're going to be doing is I'm just going to try to make you feel a little bit better since you're sick. Like, all the time lately, and you kind of look disgusting, because all this snot's coming out of you, you're sneezing and coughing all the time.
There's no snot coming out of my nose now. I'm better, but my nose looks like Rudolph. It's embarrassing.
You're like a slime creature. It's like the stuff's coming out of your body.
I mean, I'm surprised I haven't had to blow my
nose. So after saying all those nice things, I'm going to try to make you feel better.
Sure.
Some embarrassing stories of myself when I was sick. So, when I was probably 14. I was living at my mother's, obviously, and she was, I don't know what the heck she was doing, but I was playing one of the Persona games, and you're familiar with those.
Yes, these are the ones putting, where you court like, the girlfriend.
You saw me putting like close massages. To 100 hours in the one that I was doing.
Yeah.
You collect monsters, you date women. Yeah.
It's kind of disturbing, the whole dating aspect of it. Like,
so I'm playing that, and I'm really sick. I've got all this snot happening and all this mucus happening, and I'm like letting it build up in my cheeks, trying to get as much game time as I can. And the bathroom is just a few steps away from where I'm playing my games. So I wait until my cheeks are full, then I go to the bathroom and I spit it in the toilet. And then I go back to gaming and I like suck it in my nose and let it build up because my nose is sore and, you know, I don't have tissues at this time. Don't want to use toilet paper, so I'm just sucking it up and letting it sit in my mouth. It's really nasty. And at one...
Why don't you just get a spit can?
I don't know. I guess I was lazy. That would require me to go upstairs, and I was in the basement at the time.
But then you wouldn't have had to get up and go to the bathroom all the time. You could have just spit in your spittoon.
I guess, but...
Your mother would have thought you were disgusting, but...
When I was young and I'm playing these games, I'm not trying to do anything, you know, that's going to require me to put energy into walking up steps or something. I don't know what it was.
All right.
I was 14. How many years ago is that for me? I can't remember. Remember that I'm going and spitting these wads into the toilet. Okay?
No, I guess it was 20 years.
So I'm spitting the wads in the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And my mother happens to be on the toilet one of these times that I go to spit. And I've done this that many times that it's like just thoughtless at this point. So, you know, I'm just going and spitting. I'm not even looking. She had the door open for some reason.
Yeah.
So I go and I turn the corner and I spit. Like, I'm at a point in the game where I'm I want to, get back to the game real quick. So I'm trying to get, you know, I want to beat this boss or whatever I'm doing at the time. So I go to spit. I spit all over my mother and her nether regions.
Do you ever think that maybe this is why your mother thought you were possessed?
Because I just spewed slime all over her.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the first sign of possession.
It's really disgusting.
Was it green, like pea soup, because you were infected?
No, it was like, you know, chunky yellow shit.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's chunks.
Did she take you to get exercise after that?
Yeah, that was one of the instances. Another instance I have when I was really sick is I was supposed to go on a trip with a couple of girls, and I think I'm like 18 at the time. I can't remember how old I was. But I wanted to get over this cold and like seem like I was cool at the same time. So... There's three girls that are taking me to go to a mall or whatever, and I steal some of my mother's wine, a whole bottle of it. And while we're in the car, I'm drinking it, and this one girl that's sitting in the back seat with me, she says, "You realize that's cooking wine."
Cooking wine? You're drinking that?
And I'm like, yeah, I drink it all the time.
Wait, so could you not taste? Was your nose so stuffy that you couldn't taste?
I mean, a long time ago, don't remember, but I drank the whole thing myself.
I don't know how, because I tasted cooking wine once, just out of curiosity. It is foul. Like, I don't know. They must add salt or something
to it. Well, I can't imagine that it was very good, but it's not like I was a heavy drinker back then, so I probably didn't
know
what good...
Foul.
I probably didn't know what good wine tasted like.
But you know what good things taste like.
Well, now I do.
Like, anything.
So, you know, I'm chugging this stuff down. I finish it. They don't want any, so I'm like, well, I drink this all the time. No big deal.
You know. Oh, I think you did tell me that story before.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm chugging this down. We get to the mall. By that point, I don't even know where the fuck I'm at. I don't know what my name is. And I'm like, while you guys are looking around, I'll catch up with you. And I'm going to go and look around myself.
I'm going to go vomit. And
I go to the bathroom. And I am vomiting. And it's coming up red. And I had, like, some kind of rice. I think it was rice soup. Because I like that, like, that soup stuffs when I'm sick. And so I'm puking up red with rice in it. It's like blood and maggots. And it's like constantly coming out. It doesn't want to stop. And I'm like fucking loopy because I must have like a massive fever. Plus I'm drunk and I'm sick. It's like a nightmare concoction. So I start like laughing about the fact that I'm making such a disgusting mess. And then I start projectile vomiting on the walls and painting with my puke. So this,
again, possession.
So this guy comes in there and I guess didn't like what he saw because he started screaming.
As humans do.
And that's when the girls realized where I was. So they came in and got me and dragged me out quickly before things could escalate. So they put me in the front seat of the car on the way back. And
rookie
like,
mistake. Did you puke down the side of their car?
I am drenched in my own vomit. Like I must have been rolling in it or something, but it was foul. And they're like, everyone's windows are down because I smell awful.
Yeah. I have been there with you.
Yeah. So yes, you have. Not quite this bad though.
I think there's still a stain down the side of my car. Even so, after it was professionally washed.
So I this was a mistake to like have someone sitting behind me because I puke out my window and their window is open, so it goes out my window, comes back in theirs. And smacks him right in the face.
Why did you ask them to pull over?
I puked all over her face.
I'm so glad that I just pulled over.
And, so they get me home. These people must have been saints. Because they take me home. They strip me naked. They put me in the cold shower. And they wait there to make sure I don't drown. They make sure I get clean, and then they carry me to the bed and wait till my father gets home.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I think you were probably lucky it was your dad and not your mom.
Yeah. So, my dad sees the girls leaving, and he comes in my room.
He thinks, ooh, yeah.
Well, my dad was a pig. Yeah, so
he's very excited about
yeah,
this.
He's like, all right, Matthew!
Two girls at one time!
No, there were three.
Well, there were three girls at one time.
Yeah, so he's
so
like...
so many holes and only one penis.
Yeah, he's like, way to go, that's my boy. And he's like... My dad looked way different than me. He's like...
Oh, no, you know what? That's not true.
What?
I saw a picture. Your sister posted a photo
he's
of your
like,
dad.
He was like 6'2". No.
Well, okay.
And
but,
he was
I mean,
built
guys,
like a brick shithouse.
You guys, your faces look like the same.
Well, it must
and
be like
hair,
Captain America.
And the eyes.
Captain America before and after Super Serum.
That could be true, yeah.
Because... Well, he was a drill sergeant, and he spent most of his life in the army. So he was a big dude, and he comes home, he's all proud, and then he sees how fucking smashed I am, and he was like, "Oh shit, what the hell is your wrong?" I'm not gonna get into like how bad it got, but it got bad. Just imagine angry drill sergeant. But yeah,
he's angry about you drinking.
He was more of a vocal, angry kind of guy, so that just didn't let it go. My mom was the one who would punch and slap and hit you with spoons and pots and pans. My dad didn't hit. He just yelled.
This explains a lot.
Yeah, my mom would punch me in the fucking head if I was bad. But, yeah, that was embarrassing. That was okay. a sick story that...
Well, if we're talking about hangover stories, I mean, I was hung over, like, 3 Father's Days in a row. The last one was just, like, a low point because I looked at my dad on Father's Day and begged him to go get me Gatorade. And then I said, Happy Father's Day. That was the end of my drinking days. That's why I don't drink on school nights anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, oh, God, I've had some pretty awful hangovers. I went through, like, a 6-month stage where, like, all I did was drink. I think I might have been between jobs for part of it. I could drink pretty much any dude under the table. Budweiser always did me in.
Could you drink me under the table?
I might, yeah. I probably could have back in the day. I can't now. There's no way I can now. But I, like, put back Long Island iced teas and somehow managed to stay upright.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. Now I have, like, 1 glass of wine and I'm like, I can't feel my cheeks.
Yeah.
So that's what getting older does. Also 3-day hangovers. I feel shitty for 3 days when I... drink more than
I've never had a 3-day hangover.
I just feel awful for like 3 days.
Just get some hair on the dog, right?
Ugh, no. The thought of alcohol after I've been hungover is like the most disgusting thing I can possibly think of putting in my body.
I think I do pretty okay with alcohol.
No, you don't. No. So we went to a wedding that had an open bar. Was it last year, I guess? And you drank very heavily. This was the night that you puked down the side of my car. And I kept asking you, do you need me to pull over? And you'd go, no, 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 no. And then you'd have your head out my window. So I finally just pulled over and you vomited down the side of my car. But at least I avoided getting it in my car. And you smelled so bad. When I got you home, I wasn't sure if I was even going to be able to get you up the stairs. Then I had to walk, like, I had to take care of Nolly, too. It was awful, so
you're making me sound like an alcoholic.
Well, you don't drink all the time. Not to excess, but when you do, when there's an open bar.
Well, if it's free, I want to get my money's worth.
There is no money's worth. You just enjoy your 1 or 2 drinks and go, I didn't have to pay for these.
If I say I didn't have to pay for these, I want to say it the right way.
No. I like to leave being able to walk myself to the bathroom if I need to pee. That's where I stop drinking. When it starts to get a little bit questionable whether my legs will work anymore, that's when I'm like, oh, yep, this was enough. And that's usually after 3 drinks now.
All right. Well, do you have any closing thoughts or anything for the show?
No, I just, you know, I pick on you a lot, and it's come to my attention that you are upset sometimes with me picking on you. He is actually nice to me, and he does do things occasionally for me, so I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I went and bought you, what, panty liners?
You did buy me panty liners.
A jumbo box.
Well, I didn't ask for a jumbo box, but you did bring me a jumbo box, so I won't need them for, like, at least 6 months, probably longer. And that is a good boyfriend.
Yeah, and I actually had to go to the manager and ask, like...
Did you ask where the panty liners were?
No, there were different sizes, and I was like, well, how do I know what sizes I need? And they...
Oh, I guess they do have, like, extra long.
And the guy was like, well, what size do you normally use? See,
They're not for me?
This is the kind of world that we live in now.
He was probably joking with you. But they do. I guess they do make extra long. I guess I should have just been, like, regular.
I don't know. Maybe I just look very effeminate.
Or I don't think so. Are you sure you didn't have, like, poise pads in your hand? Like, which are panty liners?
No, they were,
although,
like...
it was because I was peeing myself, so
there was, like,
got me poise
there
pads.
Was, like, normal size, and then there was, like, jumbo size, and
jumbo.
I was, like...
Are you talking about maxi pads?
I don't what's the difference?
Well, maxi pads are actual pads. Like, those are made for absorbing a lot of blood.
Okay.
And panty liners are, like, for just spotting. Or, in my case, catching my pee dribbles when I sneeze.
Oh, God. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. We'll hope to see you next time.
Was that embarrassing enough for you?
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out!
What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moonlets.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?